Hallelujah. Glory. I feel good tonight. You feel good tonight? Hallelujah. How many feels good? How many could feel a little better? All right. We want you to feel great when you leave here tonight. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. We're speaking to you this evening on the doctrine of repentance. The doctrine of repentance. Acts chapter 3, our key verse, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I love that scripture. It's a powerful scripture. I would like to reiterate it once again in your hearing tonight. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to walk into God's house knowing that you have repented of all of your sins. And when the time of refreshing comes, it can bless your soul. Hallelujah. I want us to pray now, the very first night of our fundamental course, the doctrine of repentance. I want this congregation to pray for all of those in the future that will be listening to this tape, that the Lord would inspire His Word to their hearts, even as we're going to ask Him to do in our hearts tonight. Would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You, God, that we can come into Your house and open Your Word and share. We open this Word tonight. And as we delve into the Holy Writ, and as the Scriptures come alive to our hearts, I pray this evening, Lord Jesus, that You would allow us for the next little while to share the beautiful doctrine of repentance and know how important it is and what it means to our souls. I pray now for this congregation and this service this evening and for everyone that's listening to this tape, that the power of God would minister to their heart as we share the infallible words of truth that are going to stand through the age of time. I pray now, God, for Your anointing upon every ear that hears what thus saith the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Pardon and forgiveness of sins is obtained by genuine repentance. Pardon and forgiveness of sins can be obtained by a confessing of your sins and a forsaking of your sins. If you note in the Holy Word of God, John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus Christ proclaimed it, and then the apostles emphasized it both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching, repent, the day of the Lord is at hand. There is one coming who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And so at the very dawning of the grace dispensation, we find that the doctrine of repentance was first preached. The word repentance comes from several Greek words in the Bible, words which mean a change of view or a change of purpose, a change of heart or a change of mind, a change of life, or it means to be transformed. I think when you talk about repentance, you have to understand that the key word there is change. A change of direction. Now, in the United States Army, if the drill sergeant wants you to do an about face and go the opposite direction, he just simply tells you about face. And those soldiers will click their heels and they will turn 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. But down under in Australia, it is not so. In their army, The drill sergeant will say, repent. And when he says repent, the soldiers will do 180 and go the opposite way. So repentance is a change of direction. Someone once wrote, and I remember reading about repentance, and they described it this way, and they called the name of a very small town way up in the wilderness of Canada that had only one road leading into that small community. And they said repentance is like driving into that small community and then realizing you can't go any further. Repentance is like turning the car around and coming back the opposite direction. And that really is what repentance is all about. You see, the Lord understands you and I before we come to Him in repentance. He understands the road that we're on. He described it well in the Word of God as being a broad road that leads to destruction. And He said there is a narrow road that leads to life everlasting. And so to get off of the broad road and get on the narrow road, there has to be an about face. It is going a different direction. It's a different way. The Adamic nature is like a magnet that pulls on all of us. Matters not how long you've been in truth, how long you've been saved, or how long you've been a member of New Life Christian Center. There is that magnet force of the old nature of Adam that's in all of us that is a constant pull, and there is a constant gravitational effect upon the lives of those who are striving to live right and do right. And so repentance is not just for the new convert. But as you will find out next week, repentance is also for you and I who have been around a long, long time in the faith. The word repentance means a change. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we note from the words of Jesus Christ that it is imperative, that it is not just an idea or a suggestion, but the Lord emphatically tells us that repentance is a part of the salvation process. He says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 24:47. Jesus Christ speaking, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance is actually the first step with action that involves the person's approach to God. It is the first step with action involved that we take toward our salvation from sin. The very first thing the person must do before they ever repent, before you get to repentance, is you must first believe. And you must first have faith. And that will always precede repentance. For a person that comes to God, and that coming to God is the step of repentance, a person that comes to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So believing and faith precedes repentance. And they are the inward works, if you please. They are the inward works that produces or causes us to want to do right. Repentance is an action-filled step that when you repent, God's going to know it. Not only is God going to know that you repent, but you're going to feel the effects of that repentance. And not only will you feel the effects of that repentance, others will see the results of your repentance. So when you repent and take that action-packed first step toward God and toward salvation, God's going to know it. Others are going to know it. You're going to know it. Hallelujah. There will be no doubt in your mind when you have fully repented of your sins and said to your Maker, I am ready for that life
changing experience. We find in Acts chapter 2 in verse 38, when Peter was addressing those that were curious as to what they should do to be saved, Peter declared unto them, "You must repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Those are the three initial action-packed steps that a person takes when they are addressing the salvation subject. Because we have a sinful nature and have committed sinful acts, it is essential that we repent from our sins. I'm going to go a different way. The angel spoke to Mary. If you remember when the angel was speaking to Mary in Matthew chapter 1 concerning the Christ child, the angel said to Mary, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people, not in their sins, but He shall save His people from their sins." God doesn't save anyone in their sins. He saves you from your sins. Not only does He save you from your sins, but He's got the power of the Almighty God resident upon you to keep you saved from your sins. Now, a definition of repentance, according to Webster's Dictionary, it's to feel sorry or self-reproachful for what one has or hasn't done, to feel so contrite over one's sins as to change or decide to change one's ways. That's Webster's dictionary definition. In the Greek, in the New Testament writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way through Revelation, we find two Greek definitions for this word repent or repentance. The first definition is this: to regret, to come to regret, to care afterwards, to be sorry for. The second definition is this, and this is the one that we are seeking after tonight. It is to change one's mind, it is to change one's purpose, and it is to change one's opinion. I was talking to someone today in the hospital, and they were describing themselves. And I won't tell you who it is, but they were describing themselves before they came to the Lord and before God moved in their heart. And they said, "I remember a time when we had visitors knock on our door, and I opened the door and said, 'Come in.' They were guests at our house." And he said, "I put my coat on and left. And my wife said, 'Where are you going?' And he said, 'I'm leaving.' She said, 'We've got company.' He said, 'I don't care. I'm leaving.' I'm glad that person has changed." Amen. I couldn't believe Larry was that way. Amen. But he's changed. He's not here tonight, I don't think. So we'll pick on him. He was at the hospital today with his stepson, Gary. And so Larry and I sat there and talked, and he said, I just commented. I said, "Well, you know, Larry, as much as we joke around and have a good time," I said, "I really appreciate you, and you're a fine man. I'm glad I'm getting to know you." And he said, "You don't know the old Larry." And when he got through describing the old Larry, "I'm glad I don't." Somewhere, he had an experience of repentance. And he had a change of mind and a change of purpose and a change of opinion. Something happened in his life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse number 8. And we will see in this particular passage that both Greek definitions are used. The definition number 1, to regret, to be sorry for, or to come afterwards, and also the definition to change one's mind, one's purpose, and one's opinion. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse number 8. "For though I made you sorry with a letter,
I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for but a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So the Apostle Paul is sharing here both of these definitions in the Greek. There's one that is just a sorrowful, regretful type repentance. And then there's another repentance that says, I want to change my heart, my mind, my opinion, my direction. Feeling sorry or regretful for something that you have done wrong is not repentance from dead works. Amen. Just because you feel sorry for something that you have done wrong does not constitute repentance. We must, if you please, have more than a feeling of sorrow in order to be saved. It must be a godly sorrow, so deeply felt that it produces this change in our mind. It produces a change in our attitude. It produces a change in our direction. Many people feel sorry or they feel regretful for what they've done simply because they got caught or they've been exposed. And so therefore they do feel sorry or they do feel bad about what's happened, but not from a standpoint that I want to change. I feel sorry because I've gotten caught. This is not repentance because nothing has changed. True repentance will produce a change in your life. Hallelujah. Judas, if you remember, and I'll share it with you in Matthew chapter 27. Very quickly, Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse number 3. Judas, when he betrayed the Lord, here is a man that was at the Last Supper. Here is a man that sat at the table with the Lord and partook of the Lord's Supper. Here is a man that had his feet washed by Jesus Christ. Here is a man that even when the Lord said, one of you sitting among us is wrong, there was a man sitting at that table with my lovely Lord, with John's head laying over on the Lord's chest. The Lord looked around that room. He understood who it was and knew who it was. And there was opportunity for change there. But Judas did not repent. Judas was lured by filthy lucre. He was the one that carried the purse. He was the one that was worried about 200 pennies worth of oil, spikenard, that was spilled by Mary when she washed the Lord's feet and filled the whole house with the odor of that great perfume. He is the one that said, we could have sold that for 200 penny worth and given it to the poor. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He had his eye on one thing, and that was the jingle in the pocket. He was the secretary and treasurer. And if you please, on that particular day, he walked, you have to imagine this now, he walks out of an upper room Last Supper experience, where the mood and the setting was so strong and the feelings ran deep in that room. And there was a love flowing out of John for Jesus. And those other disciples were looking at one another saying, is it I? And they were getting down before the Lord, and the Lord was washing their feet, and there was great commitment, and there was great power, and there was great passion in that room. And Judas walks out of that presence, and he goes and sells the Lord's blood for 30 pieces of silver. Listen to Matthew 27 and 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. His repentance was not
a full turnabout and an about face. It was not a real change deep down inside of him. He did not have total and full repentance, because godly sorrow worketh real repentance. His sorrow was not godly sorrow. His sorrow was for himself, for his contempt, for the fact that he had betrayed the Lord. He was feeling more sorry for himself than he was with a godly sorrow for the sin that he was involved in. Therefore, the wages of sin being death, he went out and hanged himself, because there was not a real, true spirit of repentance upon him. He repented to those that he got the money from, but he could not repent unto the Lord. Somewhere there was something blocking his total communication with God. For in the same setting, Peter betrayed the Lord. And there's not much difference between denial and betrayal. Peter denied the Lord, if you please, 3 times. And yet he, when he recognized his sin, he went out and he wept bitterly. And that repentant spirit, that sorrow that was in Peter's heart, caused him to have rectification with the Lord, and before long he was back in favor with God. Why was one man taken and the other man left? Why was one man forgiven and the other man not forgiven? Because one man had godly sorrow that worked true repentance. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to get to the place where I cannot be touched by God and moved by God to a place of repentance. If there's something in my life, if there's something in my attitude, if there's something in my spirit, if there's something in the way I am that should not be, I want God to be able to convict me. And I don't want to just feel sorry for myself, but I want to feel that godly sorrow. I want to feel, Lord, let me get this right with you. Hallelujah. One of the worst feelings I ever had when I was growing up as a kid was when I ripped one of my mother's plants out by the roots. And it was a plant that she had cultivated and worked and she loved. And I was about 8 years old. And my sister, who was Hope, was hopeless that day. And I was so upset at her, and she came running through and said something to me, and I grabbed the first thing that I could find to throw at her, and it was my mother's plant, and I ripped it out by the roots and I threw it all the way across the room, and it missed my sister, but my mother didn't miss me. Amen. I felt so, you don't know how bad. I felt that sorrow. There was no way I could put the plant back together again, and the sorrow that I felt, I don't even like to think about it today, because I feel like going back and calling Mom and saying, Mom, 35 years ago, I still feel bad about your plant. That feeling. I don't want to lose that type of feeling toward God. If I am wrong and if I have sin in my life, I want to be able to come and say, God, this is not surface repentance. I'm not doing this just because I got caught. I'm doing this because out of my heart, I want to go the right direction. And repentance is that. Repentance is saying, let me get right with God. Let me go the right way. Can you say amen? So Peter, he repented with a godly sorrow. Judas did not. And today, we understand how important it is to repent with a full heart. Now in Hebrews chapter 6, let's talk about repentance from dead works. Everybody say dead works. Repentance from dead works. Galatians chapter 6. Turn there with me if you will, please. Or excuse me. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. Praise God. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, that have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and putting Him to an open shame. The doctrine, if you please, of repentance from dead works. Everybody said dead works. You got to repent of dead works. Hallelujah. And we're going to cover that the next little while. Repentance from dead works is turning from, repenting of, changing our mind about. The works are, if you please, the actions that produce spiritual death, our separation from God in our lives. Amen. Dead works are those things which will produce spiritual death and separation from God in our lives. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, and I will read beginning with verse number 12. Listen to it carefully. Therefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law of sin was in the world, but sin was imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, that's talking about Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, sin hath reigned unto death. That's important for you to remember. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. This product, this sinful nature that produces spiritual death and separation from God, came to us by Adam. Sin is the culprit. Sin is what you and I have to deal with every day. Sin is the tool of the enemy. Sin is what the enemy will hold over your head. Sin is what he will shake in your face. Sin is what he will try to get you to commit. It doesn't matter how he has to do it, he will disguise it. He will slip up on your blind side. He will not give you an open and an honest fight. He is out to destroy your life. And the Scripture says, by one man, Adam, everybody in this building was made sinners by one man's disobedience. By one man, think about it, one man, Adam, put sin in the human race. And somebody said, well, I just don't know if God can forgive me. I want to tell you something tonight. If one man's sins can travel 6,000 years and affect you, then one man who 2,000 years ago went up on a cross and died and bled and gave his life that you might have this great experience, if Jesus Christ came and gave his life then you can have forgiveness of what Adam put into your human race and into your human mind and into the human body. If Adam could put sin in you, then through repentance, Jesus Christ can accept that repentance and wash you in the waters of baptism and fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost and give you reason to live. I'm glad tonight that I know there is power in repentance. And when the enemy tries to hold something over your head that you've repented of, you look him right in the eye and say, I've already taken care of that with Jesus Christ. For the Word of God tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 15, it simply says, sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. We're talking about the repentance of dead works. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. James wrote that. Paul wrote to the Roman church in 6:23, and he said, the wages of sin is death. He wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, we who were dead in trespasses and sins hath God quickened. He wrote to the Colossian church in 2:13. He said, we were quickened who were dead in sin. Hebrews 9:14 says, and the blood of Christ purges our conscience from dead works. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Keller? I'm saying that you and I were born in sin, participated in sin, had a paycheck coming that was the wages of sin, which is death. But now, through repentance, we have been quickened. Something begins to happen on the inside of us. When we look at that sin and understand that that is what's separating us from God, and we have enough fortitude to say, God, this is coming from way down in my heart, not just because I'm caught in the trap of sin, but I sincerely am sorry for every wrong I've ever done. I'm talking about a God that loves that. Not only does God love that, the angels rejoice over one sinner that comes to God in repentance. All of heaven rejoices over a sinner that will repent of their sins. Praise God. I love it. Praise God. This thing called repentance, I don't know if I can get through this. We may be a month on this. Hallelujah. Repentance. Everybody say repent. Turn to your neighbor and say repent. You old sinner, repent. Amen. Amen. Repent. I know there's no sinner sitting next to you. We're all saved tonight. Amen. I hope. I'm praying. Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Look at Galatians chapter 5, or listen to it carefully, beginning with verse 16. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said that through His blood He will purge our conscience from dead works. The works of the flesh. Everybody say, the works of the flesh will produce spiritual death. Let's say that together. The works of the flesh will produce spiritual death. Say it one more time. The works of the flesh will produce spiritual death. One more time. The works of the flesh. Let's just stop there. The works of the flesh. Everybody say the flesh. The old man. Adam. What I deal with every morning getting up. That body that we're in. This temple that Adam gave us, the works of the flesh. I'm glad that more than Larry has repented. Hallelujah. Some of you, I just can't imagine you being what you tell me you used to be. But thank God, the works of the flesh, hallelujah, have been conquered. The works of the flesh you've got power over. Listen to Galatians 5:16, and we'll list some of the works of the flesh. 5:16 through verse 26, the end of the chapter. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. I mean, knows what he's talking about there. That old flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Are you ready for the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I am thankful that I have been able to repent of dead works. These things that would sap your spiritual strength, we can bring them to God. If you're in witchcraft tonight, I'm telling you that through repentance, you can lay that dead work at the altar and God can forgive you of witchcraft. If you tonight are struggling with drunkenness, I'm talking about a God that is able to forgive you of being a drunk. If you're struggling tonight with strife, or with wrath, or with fornication, or with lasciviousness, or idolatry, I'm glad to announce unequivocally that you can bring every work of the flesh to an altar of repentance. Hallelujah. And pour your heart out before God, and God will hear, and God will answer that cry from your heart. Hallelujah. He's a forgiving God. He understands this struggle you might have with the flesh, and He will forgive you of your sins. There's only one sin that's the unpardonable sin, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I don't care what you've done or how long you've done it. God, through repentance, a godly sorrow, a true repentance, God will forgive you. Amen. Let's continue on to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. If you belong to Christ, you have. It's something you've already taken care of. Hallelujah. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You've taken care of all that old man. Hallelujah. If you belong to the Lord, you're not a part of that anymore. You put that in your past through repentance. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do we get in the Spirit? We get control over the dead works that plague us and will drain our spiritual life. Sin works not only on the physical, but it also works on the spiritual. Amen. Sin has an effect on the physical as well as the spiritual. Amen. I could take you to Indianapolis and show you a man, my mother's brother. I can show you a man that lays in a nursing home tonight, and a man that all of my life, for 41 years, I have witnessed this man in the last half of his life, a man that has lived in sin. And I can show you what sin can do. Sin can wreck you physically, emotionally, financially. It can affect you most definitely spiritually. And sin, hallelujah, the works of the flesh will bring you down. But salvation brings life to the soul now. Hallelujah. It brings life to the soul right now. And also for eternity. Praise God. I'm so glad that my future is secure as long as I stay in the church. I'm glad tonight that I can have spiritual health now. Praise God. I can have spiritual health that I know is going to take me into eternity. Dead works are death-producing works. I wonder what some of those death-producing works are. Now, we've listed several here in Galatians chapter 5. But I wonder, what are some of those death-producing works that can affect you physically, mentally, spiritually? Amen. I think of one. Here's a death-producing work. It's simply lying. Lying will produce spiritual and natural death. Hallelujah. Coveting. I just hesitate to go any further. Because backbiting comes to mind. I don't think any of that happens here. Praise God. What's some death producing sin that comes to your mind? Anybody got one you want to share with us? That will produce, you know, that if you operate in this level of fleshly realm, Brother Gary Smith, I'm sorry. How many knows that hatred can absolutely cause you to physically be sick? Hallelujah. These works of the flesh can cause you to spiritually deteriorate and to spiritually die. Oh God, help us to repent of every death-producing work. It must be repented of if we are going to find new life. Let's go to Galatians chapter 35. A sermon that I preached several weeks ago here at New Life. What did I say? Galatians chapter 35? Did I say that? Genesis. Just checking. Hallelujah. Somebody get for me while we're turning there. Get for me chapter 2 of Jude, would you? Just look that up. Amen. I think there's a second chapter in Jude, isn't there? Y'all were sharp on Galatians, but you missed the one on... Okay, Genesis chapter 35. Beginning with verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. I cannot find a better Old Testament example of repentance that would adequately share with what I want to share with you here this evening than this particular story that we know well. Jacob tells his children, Number one, I want you to arise. And we're going to go back to Bethel, or the house of God. And when we get to the house of God, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put away the strange gods that are among us. We're going to alleviate and get rid of all the strange gods. The strange gods are a type of removing anything from your life that separates you from God. Whatever it is that separates you from God, He says, I want you to get rid of that and eliminate that from your life. And by doing so, you'll be able to come into the presence of the Lord. I read this afternoon in Judges chapter 10. And I want to share with you beginning with verse 10. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and we have served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, and the Sidonians, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet... Now watch this. The Lord says, Yet ye have forsaken me. And look at the accusation of God against His people. He said, You have forsaken me and you have served other gods. He said, Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. I mean, the Lord just said, look, you're serving the God of the Amorites and the Hittites and all the otherites. You're serving those gods. Let them deliver you. Amen. You've made your choice. That's your God. That's who you're going to serve. So you go to them and let them deliver you. But Israel was sharp enough to realize that they had made a mistake. That God, I've gone the wrong way in all of this. I've done wrong. So what do? They start repenting. Listen to what they say. When the Lord says, Go cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. I love verse 15 of chapter 10 of the book of Judges. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. What is the answer? The answer is, come on, Jacob, tell your children to be clean. Let us arise and go to Bethel and put away the strange gods that are among you. The first thing you've got to do when you come to God is you've got to lay aside every weight and the sin that would so easily beset you. You've got to say, I'm going to have nothing between me and God. Repentance begins when we start cleaning out the closet and saying, God, I don't want anything in my heart. I'm sorry for my wrong. I'm sorry for the way I've gone. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to go another way. Lord, I've been serving gods that cannot help me. I realize in my tribulation that they're not going to be able to satisfy the need of my spiritual heart. And Lord, I'm turning back to You. I'm telling You, the Lord will respond to that kind of a cry. Be clean. Let us arise and go back to Bethel. Put away the strange gods. He said, be clean. What is He talking about, be clean, there in that passage? The filthiness of the flesh or the filthiness of spirit. Psalm 119 and 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? It's a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is in the same verse. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we cleanse ourselves? How do we find repentance? You do it through the Word of God. Let's go to John 15, the first 8 verses. Praise God. John chapter 15, beginning with verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Lord, have mercy. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. That's why we have to pray and cry and sigh for revival. Amen. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus said, here's how you get clean. Jacob said, let us arise, go back to Bethel, change our garments, be clean. You're clean, as the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse himself? A young man shall cleanse himself by taking heed unto the word. And then Jesus says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Word cleanses us. How does the Word cleanse us? It pushes us to repentance. It pushes us to communication. It pushes us to fellowship with God. He said in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in he, in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gathereth them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words, hallelujah, my words which cleanseth thee. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Hallelujah. Let me close with this tonight. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, there has got to be the continuing act of repentance and the cleansing of ourselves that we can be used in the kingdom of God. He said that He was coming back after a church that did not have spot, that did not have wrinkle, that did not have blemish, but it's a holy church. It's a pure church. It's a righteous church. It's a justified church. It's a saved church. He's coming after a people that has made their self ready through the cleansing, through the Word. Preach to me, preacher. Let me hear the Word. Let me take the Word and bathe myself with it. Let me take the Word and repent of my sins. Why do I want to do that? Because if I abide in Him and His words abide in me, He said, ye can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Why are we praying and why are we fasting and why are we repenting in January of 95? What is motivating us to do this in New Life Christian Center? We want to position ourselves in Christ in that strategic place where we have a right to come to His throne and ask that which we desire and receive exactly what we desire from Him. Hallelujah. How do we do that? We must be clean. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready to start petitioning God. I'm going to pray and fast and get my heart right, get my mind right, get my spirit right, so I can come boldly to the throne without reservation, with nothing else to repent of. I love everybody in this building. I love everybody in the choir. I love everybody on the usher staff. I don't have anything in my heart against anybody. If I do, I'm going to get it taken care of tonight. I'm not going home with any feelings deep in my soul. I'm going to repent of it tonight because I got some things I want to ask God for. And if you got things hanging over your head, you might as well forget about approaching God. He's going to tell you, go take care of the boulder that's in your eye and quit worrying about the splinter that's in somebody else's eye and get things taken care of and then come back and talk to me. I'm telling this church that if we'll pray and if we'll fast, God will cause us not to have any feelings against anybody, and it will cause us to come together as one unit and be able to stand in His presence and say, I love everybody that way, and I love everybody that way, and I love the preacher, and I love the church, and I love God, and I love the Bible, and I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah! And when we get to that place, I'm telling somebody, we can come boldly to His throne and say, we want apostolic revival. And Jesus Christ is going to open up the windows of heaven and He's going to pour out a blessing upon this church that it will not be able to contain. But we got to love one another. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to love bald-headed preachers. You got to do it. You got to love old white-headed Jim Peters back there. Hallelujah. I covet his hair. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive me. See, I got to get rid of that. Got to get that out of my heart. Praise God. I'm telling you, when we get where we abide in Him and He abides in us, I love putting on the garments. Praise God. I don't have time. Yes, I've got time. Will you give me 5 more minutes? I'm going to take 10. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. But I am hurrying. Praise God. We want revival. Revival is going to come only through clean vessels. It will only come through clean vessels. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse number 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, now listen to what the Lord says. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now He tells us to repent. Okay, He's telling us, hey, your hands are full of blood. I'm hiding my eyes from you. I'm closing my ears to you. But then He tells us what to do. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He tells us here, hallelujah, if you really want a move of God and you really want something to happen in your life, then you're going to have to learn to see cease from doing evil. You're going to have God direct you until you learn to do well, until you seek judgment, till you relieve the oppressed, till you judge the fatherless, till you plead for the widow. And then he says, then we can come together. Hallelujah. He was saying to Israel, I don't even want to see you. I've got my eyes hid from you. My ears are stopped. I do not want to hear from you. I do not want to see what you're doing because your hands are full of blood. But he didn't just leave them there in a bloody mess. He said, if you'll repent, if you'll get it right, he said, then we can come and reason together. I'm telling you, there's some folks here tonight that are just about that close to being able to come and reason with God. They're just about that close to being able to walk into the throne room of God and say, I have struggled my last struggle. I have fought the devil my last battle. I have already got this far, Lord, by faith, and you're going to take me the rest of the way. I believe with all of my heart that somebody's going to come together in a meeting, hallelujah, a headquarters meeting, a summit with the Lord. You're going to climb to the mountainside, hallelujah. And the Scripture said, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? If you're going to have that real communication with God, you've got to have active repentance in your heart. You cannot have anything in your heart against anybody and have true fellowship with God. If you can't love your brother who you have seen, you can't love God who you haven't seen. I'm asking you to push your way to a place of repentance. If you got to fast 10 days, fast 10 days. It brings the flesh down. It brings you to your knees. It brings you to the very first step, the elementary step, that first step of repentance. Do it again, Lord. Do it again until I have fellowship with God. Until I know Him. Till He knows me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You still love me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Lord, give me a clean heart. Lord, help me to put the strange gods from among us. And then we have to change our garments. Turn to your neighbor and say, change your garments. Hallelujah. Change your garments. Go with me. We'll close, I think, with this. Job. Job 29. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying not to do this. I'm trying to teach. But I feel so much preach when I get in this pulpit. I love you folks. You make me want to preach. And I apologize. I'm going to try to teach. Hallelujah. I just get excited, you know. I'm just a little beside myself. Hallelujah. I know what God can do. You know what God can do. He's going to do it. Job 29. I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff. Beginning with verse 12. This is one of the most powerful scriptures. I read this today and my heart just leaped inside of me again. Job 29, beginning with verse 12. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that hath none to help him, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, Job said. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. Now Jacob said, we got to put the strange gods away, we've got to be clean, and we got to change our garments. Job is saying, I want to tell you, before he ever told us what garment he had on, he said, because I delivered the poor that cried. I took care of the poor when they cried. The fatherless I took care of. And that person that had nobody to help him, I helped him. And the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. I helped that person that was just ready to perish. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. And he said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. And I, listen to this carefully, and I, when you get righteous clothing on, hallelujah, when you get robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when you get bathed in the blood of the Lamb, when you fully repented of everything that's in your heart that's not right, and you've got the royal diadem. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got the robes of righteousness upon you. Then Job said in verse 15, I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and caused that which I knew not, that which knew not, I searched out. And he said, I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his mouth. God, I want this church, and I'm asking You to let this church be the eyes to the blind. I'm asking You, Lord, to let this church be the feet to the lame. I'm asking You to let this church be a father to the poor. I'm asking You, Lord, to let this church to have that person that doesn't know which way to go, that will search out a way and be able to tell him which way to go. And then Job said, I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. I'm telling you, the devil has got some in his jaws. He's got some of your young people, some of your marriages, some of your minds, some of your spirits in his jaw. And that's the most powerful muscle there is, that jaw muscle that pulls down. But Job said, I'm telling you, I got pure before God, and I was able to break his jaw and get the spoil out. I'm telling you, some of you feel like there's no hope, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. And the enemy that's had you suppressed and depressed, if you'll repent of those sins and get the power of the Holy Ghost moving in you, you'll be able to stand before God with a holy conscience and say, Lord, give us power to become what You want us to be in this day and age. Let's clap our hands to Him right now. Oh, God, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. I want to become the eyes to the blind. How many knows this world is spiritually blind? I want to become the feet to the lame. I want to be that help. I want to be the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Until we can have a great harvest. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise God for what I feel here tonight. Amen. Read Revelation 3:18 on changing your garments. Read 1 Peter 5 and 5. We won't cover them tonight. Hallelujah. But study those scriptures out. Understand that through repentance, repentance is just coming back and saying, Lord, let me be right. Do right. Live right. Let me be saved. Amen. And everybody said amen. Next week we're going to be talking about the city of Nineveh. They repented. We'll be talking about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. There are some powerful scriptures in Isaiah 55. We're going to talk about the works for repentance. We're going to cover scriptural references in repentance. The results of repentance. Seven works of repentance. And then repentance for the saved. And then, the Lord willing, the next few months, I want to preach a couple of sermons. One on repentance, a pure gospel grace. And then one on counterfeit repentance. And these are some things we have coming up in the next little while. But I want you to believe with me that the Lord is going to cleanse us, make us right, and help us to repent. If you've got some, you know, there's no better feeling than to get everything right. How many of us likes everything to be right? Don't want any feel. I don't want any feel. I don't like feelings. Praise God. If you've got something against me, please come to me and let's get it out of the way. Praise God. I don't think anybody has anything against me. I'm looking for a hand. Isn't that wonderful? Look at hundreds of people and nobody has anything against me. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Lord, let it be that way in 5 years from now. 10 years from now, till Jesus comes. How many is never going to have anything against me? Would you raise your hand, please? You're never going to let anything come against me. My God, some of you are going, help me, Lord. Brother Malloy, don't ever have anything against me. Amen. Thank God. Go ahead, raise your hand. Amen. If you got something against somebody, get it taken care of. Repent. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just saw a large group of young people come in. And they're sitting over here. I think this is the way we'll end this tonight. I'd like for all those young people that was over in the educational building that's come over here. I want all of y'all to come to the platform, will you, tonight? Praise God. All of these sweet darlings. You can just wear your coats. It doesn't matter. Praise God. I want y'all to come over here. Amen. Come up here on the platform. I'm telling you what. Isn't this great? Hallelujah. Amen. We got some of the finest young people. Hello, young man. Hallelujah. Isn't this great? Praise God. Just come over here right behind me, right like this. That's great. Come here, Tadpole. Are you warm?
Yeah.
All right. You want to dismiss in prayer?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
Have you had enough?
No.
Okay. What did you do? Did you color something?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what your lesson was?
It's about baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus? That's great. Did you do that?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that wonderful? All by yourself?
Uh-huh.
No help?
No help. But teacher did the sparkles.
Teacher did the sparkles, but you did all the coloring?
Uh-huh.
You know, that looks like a Rembrandt. Did you know that? It does. And is this... What's this?
That's the baby. And that's Mary. And that's baby Jesus. That's Joseph right there. And that's the donkey right there.
That's unbelievable. Who's your favorite person in the whole world? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Who's your favorite pastor in the whole world? Say Keller.
Keller.
That's right. Amen. You're a neat kid. You want to go home with me?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Don't we have a good group of kids? Let's give them a big hand. I love every one of them. You're my buddy. Hallelujah. Brother Wade, thank you for coming and being with us. So glad to have you tonight. Look at this. Man, there's more coming. Is this yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoops. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you, parents. If you want to find your children, they're up here. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Well, wait just a second. Come here, baby. You want to show me that? Okay. They think I'm Santa Claus. Lined up here. Amen. What's your name?
Kristen.
All right, Kristen. Can you bow your head with me and let's pray? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day and your blessings. We thank you for this church, every parent, every child, every single, Lord. I pray today, Jesus, that you'll go with us and that your presence will be with us. Bring us back at the appointed time and we'll give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. The Lord bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.